My name is Adam Koop. I'm one of the pastors here at Whitewater Christian Church. It's awesome to be here with you. You are in the middle, smack dab, in the middle of a teaching series called Own Your Stuff. And stuff is sin. But it's not the actual sins. It's not this, you know, I'm addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography. Those are symptoms of the stuff. The stuff is the deep-rooted stuff. The stuff that we just can't let go. And last week, I talked for 44 minutes, and I felt like I held you hostage. But I did, and that's okay, so you're welcome. Whoop. Actually, I thought it was rather pointed, and I could not shut up if I wanted to last week. So we are in this series, and today we're talking about fear. Larry touched on fear when he opened this series up, when he said, fear not is mentioned how many times, Larry? 366 times within the entirety of Scripture, Old Testament and New. Fear not is listed 366. I think God has something to say about fear, right? So we're going to be talking about fear. We're going to be expanding on this idea of fear. And again, I Craig and I talked about what are we going to go into once John is done, and he said Romans, and I was like, I find myself in Romans again this week. I think God just likes Craig more than he likes me, and he's got a sense of humor. He's taking Craig's side. That's a faith narrative we probably need to address on my part. But I want to open up because this fear here that is mentioned in Romans 8 is an interesting thing, and I keep wanting to cut this short, but I think I can't. Okay, because my wife made these sheets for kids to follow along. If you're in sixth grade on up, you're in here. There's no kids program for you. You're here having to learn how to sit quiet. Let me repeat that, having to learn how to sit quiet. That's for my son, and for some of you ADD adults, that's fine too. No, actually just to sit and engage and listen to the Word of God and be in community here. So that's why we have these sheets. Well, she does these sheets, and I listed all the Scripture, so I'm going to read it anyway, okay? Can I do that? Can you read too much? If you have a Bible, I want you following along with me. If you do not have a Bible, if you came here today and you're like, what's a Bible? We want to give you one, okay? They're out on our table by the snacks and the coffee and everything. Just go grab one. And all those books that are out there, please take anything that would benefit you to read. Deal? Okay. I'm in Romans 8, and we're going to start with verse 1. Romans chapter 7, up until this point, is talking about sin and dealing with sin. Okay? And this is how Romans 8 picks up. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who know Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Has set you free from the stuff, the Spirit that Jesus died and rose and sent when He left. Has set you free from all this stuff and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh. And He's talking about the cross, this whole interaction that happened on the cross that we read about in John. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. We do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm going to repeat stuff that I don't think you actually heard, okay? Thank you. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God. And we talked about that last week, right? There's nothing that we can do to please God. There's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. There's nothing, no right prayer, anything like that. You, however, are not in the realm of flesh. He's talking to people that know Jesus and love Jesus, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even through your body, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Like what we talked about last week. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he's talking about the Spirit of God, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because the Spirit, because of His Spirit who lives in you. Now this is the part I really want to focus in on. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father! The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are His children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. The part I want to focus in on here is verse 15. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Do you find that interesting? We have this pre-Christ, pre-Jesus version of ourselves. And then we have this knowledge of Jesus and this loving of Jesus through our lives and through the Spirit. And it says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption sonship. We're talking about fear, but I want to focus in on this adoption. I've got a video when God led me to this passage. There's this video that we filmed in December 2012, and we asked all of our kids, what is love? That was the question. What is love? And we had some footage that never ever saw the light of day, ever. And one of the gals, when I watched the footage the first time, it hit me just super hard what she had to say. And her name is Clarice, and I think she might be here today. Is she here? Is she in children's? All right. Her name's Clarice Campbell. In 2012, were they legally adopted just yet? In December. They were. Okay. So pretty fresh, if I remember. It was in November is when that happened. So there's been maybe a month that this adoption had taken place when Josh and Kat, who were back there, had adopted Clarice. But this is what she had to say. She started talking about this, what is love? And it wasn't, what is God's love? The question was, what is love? And Clarice started her interview by saying, it's when people don't have a coat and you give them yours even though you don't have another one. It's pretty legit, right? She goes on to say, it's when people are poor and they don't have any money and you give them money to get what they need. I think you guys said that Clarice was 6 at this time. She's got it down more than most adults. And then she went on to say this, and I want to show the video clip here. It's actually going to see the light of day, so let's play it here. Make sure the audio...
If you're an orphan, sometimes people will adopt you, and that's why I love God and I love Him.
When you're an orphan, sometimes people will adopt you, and that's why I love God. I love Him. And I found her response interesting because it was, what is love? And she equates God with love. Notice how she didn't say, I was adopted and I love my parents for adopting me. I was adopted. And that's why I love God. Now, along with this adoption process, I find it interesting, and this is how we bridge this fear issue, is there's been adoptive parents that I know that once they adopt kids, their life is perfect and they don't struggle with anything. Their family unit just gels and everything's good. I didn't hear any obscenities come from Campbell's, but I know they're saying it under their breath. That's a bunch of... We had some friends that were here, Micah and Sarah Jane. And they had Mesgrim, Gemetu, and Muratu. And they adopted this brother and sister, which was kind of a miraculous thing anyway. Because normally they don't adopt, they're not able to adopt two kids, but they were called and said, hey, we've got this boy and this girl. And so they would invite us over for dinner. We would invite them over for dinner. It was just the whole family, not just the kids. And it was just this really cool thing. Well, when you're looking at their family unit, when they were over with us, it looked normal to me. It didn't look like a strenuous thing. But I think when you adopt kids, you don't really know what to expect, especially when they're somewhat old. You don't grow up with them, so then you have these kids, and you're like, what do I do with them? But they have these kids, and we're eating dinner, and there was one time they took pity on me. They found out Sherry was out of town, and so were the boys, and they said, well, obviously Adam can't cook for himself, so we should probably have him over so he doesn't starve to death, which, if you can see this, you should be worried about that. So they invite me over, and we're having this conversation, and they're talking about when they brought, it was Muratu and Mesgrim, right? Mesgrim and Gemetu, thank you. When they brought them home, what they noticed was this hoarding. These children were adopted from this country, and they were brought back to the States, and it was something that they had never seen before. Not only were they brought back to the States, but they were brought to parents who actually made a decent living and was able to provide for them a beautiful place to live, food, clothing, shelter, all this stuff. All this stuff was provided for them. But what they noticed is these children started to hoard food. Now, you're in America. That's usually one thing you don't suffer from is starvation, right? But these kids, they had been trained from how they had lived and just this learning, you know, even at their very young age, of how to survive. They picked up on, we don't know when our next meal's coming. We don't know where it's coming from necessarily. And so they'd come to the States and they would eat tons and almost like make themselves sick. Or then they would find like food hidden under their pillows or in their bedrooms and things like that. And they're like, what is going on here? And they would tell them, look, you don't have to do this. It's not this thing that you have to do. And it didn't matter how much they were told. It was just, that's how they did it because that's the only way they knew how to survive. And they did this out of fear because they didn't know what was coming next. They didn't know how to operate. They didn't know. And this is something that they built up in life and how to operate and how to be. Even in this adoption, even in this beautiful home, these beautiful children having clothes on their backs, having a home to live in, having parents that actually love them, they still were just hoarding all the stuff from how they used to be. You see where this is going? And as I started thinking about this adoption and living in fear, and you don't have to live in fear any longer of the way you used to be, because you are sons and daughters of the King. You are sons and daughters of Jesus. You are sons and daughters of God. You are co-heirs. Meaning everything that Jesus has said, everything that is within the kingdom is yours. You understand that? Everything that God has and everything that God has said is yours. And yet we hoard out of fear. And we operate as if it wasn't. As if we didn't know Jesus. As if we didn't have the Spirit living inside of us. As if we didn't have any kind of adoption at all. And God, through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that lives inside of us continues to tell, continues to sometimes nag even. Look, daughter, son, listen to me. Listen to me. Everything that's here is yours. Everything that I've said I would do, I've done. Everything that I said I will do, I will do. He throws the cupboards open and shows us all the food and says, look, you're not going to go hungry. Throws the closet doors open and says, look, you're not going to go naked and you're not going to go without clothes. Son, daughter, just listen to that. Own that. You do not need to live in fear any longer. And so our fear today maybe isn't food. Maybe our fear is Tuesday of this week. Come, Lord Jesus. Maybe you fear this political regime on whatever side, and you are just scared to death. I have Facebook friends, complete right, complete left, and in the middle, and super far out of space. Like, they are crazy. And my newsfeed is just filled with them hating each other, basically. And our country's going to hell if this happens, or he's elected, or our country's going to hell if she's elected. Don't even get me started on Gary Johnson. And I sit there and I watch, and I thought, what is there to fear? Did not God say he has this even? God had something to say about politics and people in power, didn't he? The answer is yes. And he says, even in that arena, do not fear. But here's what happens is we hoard that, we keep that back, we say, oh no, I got to stockpile this and operate as I've always operated. And we step into the kingdom and we try to operate in this hoarding way and we try to operate in this way that doesn't jive with the kingdom. Rich kind of touched on finance stuff. I've got to keep all this to myself, I've got to hold all this back. And the kingdom challenges that and says, no, you don't. The kingdom says, look at these hungry people, do you have something that can help feed them? Look at these people who don't have clothes. Can you help them? Look at these people who don't have clean water. Can we assist them with your finances? Look at these people that are your neighbors. Can you help them? Look at these people who you work with that are telling you they are going through the roughest time of their life financially. Can you help them? We do it with our forgiveness, with our family. We have this pre-Jesus version of how we operate, and then we step into the kingdom and we continue to try to operate in this, I will not forgive that person until they forgive, or they say the magic words, or they do what I need them to do in order for me to forgive anything. And what does Jesus say about that? He says, forgive, right? I've yet to see a list from Jesus. Forgive only if they... Feed the hungry only if they. Remember those in prison only if they. The only if comes from us. And our self-preservation and our hoarding and in the way in which we've been taught to cope with life pre-Jesus. And we try to bring that into this kingdom side of things. We try to bring that into this Holy Spirit side of things. And we are constantly at war within ourselves because we are afraid. We fear that if we give that up. I had a guy living with us, and he was so angry at life and at God. And I kept driving the point home about Jesus. Look, man, Jesus is your answer. And it felt repetitive, and it felt... Like, I really tapped out in this arena because I really didn't know what else to say. And I didn't want to just give him, you know, Bible verses to go read or anything. But look, man, Jesus is your answer on this. Jesus never designed you to live like this. God never wanted you, his child, to live like this. And he was holding back so much anger because of his mother died early on. And what a well-meaning Christian person came up and told him was this: God needed her more than you did. Makes God sound pretty cool, huh? I'll be taking you. I need him. It's fine. You just deal with it. God needed her more than you did. So he's held on to this anger, and I'm trying to sift through this stuff. And it finally comes out that he said this, his own words out of his mouth. The reason I hold on to my anger is because this is literally the only memory of my mother I have left. I can feel her in my chest because I'm angry about what happened. I can feel her with me. And if I let that go, I won't feel that anymore, and I will lose her. And that is so backwards from kingdom life. That is so... this thing that's making him angry in life, this thing that is hurting him, killing him, destroying his relationships with other people, is the same thing that he's holding on to, saying, this is how I have to live. And I'm saying, God wants freedom for you, child. God wants freedom for you, brother. We hold on to the stuff that we use as a tactic for survival, and God longs so much for us to understand that it's not necessary. Our hoarding, our keeping back is not necessary, because there's so much stuff out there for us. As we accept our adoption, as we say yes to Jesus, as we say, you know what, I'm gonna do what you've asked me to do. I want to be in right relationship with you, as we talked about. Sin is not wrongdoing, it's wrong being. I want to be who you've called me to be. And obviously, doing follows that, right? Or sometimes stopping doing follows that. So for those of you this morning that do not recognize who Jesus is, and do not recognize the love that He has for you, and do not recognize why He did what He did, I'm praying hard for you. There are people that have come in this auditorium. Every seat that you're sitting in right now has been prayed over this morning. You know that? We got crazy people that will actually walk these aisles and pray specifically for you to hear from God, for you to understand this adoption that He's calling you into. For those of you that have been adopted and you still hold back and you still hoard this old lifestyle just because you think that's how you can survive in the kingdom, you can't. And maybe that's your tension this morning. Maybe that's why you're so miserable. Maybe that's why you've come in just so tenuous with God. Or why can't I hear God's voice? Why can't I understand this? And it's because you're doing it all on your own. And you're not accepting the adoption that God has given, that the adoption that God has called you into, this kingdom that He's asked you to step into once you say, I love you, Jesus. And I understand your love for me and the love for you that you have for all of us. And I understand I cannot operate how I once did. I understand that I cannot operate in the fear that I once did, but I need to operate in your kingdom in the way in which you've asked me to be. And it starts by just being how He's asked us to be. You read through the Gospels, and it's pretty clear who Jesus has asked us to be. Have you seen those memes of Jesus on the Mount? And it's like, He's like, give to those that ask you, and people are like challenging, like, yeah, but, have you seen those? Nobody thinks they're funny. I think they're funny. We can laugh. Jesus gave us a sense of humor, okay? God gave us that. Feed the poor, but only if they work, or only if they're legal immigrants. Not funny? Good, whatever. I'm done. But that's what we do. We negotiate. But Jesus. And He says, but daughter, but son, I've adopted you. Walk in that. Live in that. Be in that. Why did I adopt you? Clarice had it right. I love God because He loves me. Sometimes, she said, people get adopted. Orphans get adopted. That's not the case with God. All the time. Anybody. There's no selection process. You are loved by your Creator, and He wants you to walk in that. Not in fear, but in this new way of life that brings joy and brings peace to you first, and then everybody around you. Do you believe that's possible? Let me hear it. Okay, this side of the room. Do you believe that's possible? Let me hear it. How about the middle? Do you believe it's possible? Then walk in it. God, we love you. God, this stuff that we hold back, out of fear, God, I pray for a removal of that this morning. God, whatever the issue is, where we fear or don't trust you, God, remove that from us this morning. God, replace it with words from your Holy Spirit this morning. The same Spirit that, as Paul has talked about in Romans 8, that as we live in it, it brings life. God, we don't want to live in our stuff and our sin any longer because that brings death. Scripture is clear about these things. So God, remove these things. Show us these things, God, where we operate in these areas. Where we hold back and we hoard our old way of life. That doesn't square with the kingdom that you've adopted us into. God, replace it with your words from the Holy Spirit. Replace our slow-moving feet, our slow-forgiving hearts, God, our fear-dominated spirits over whatever the issue is. God, replace it with words of life from your Holy Spirit. God, the same Spirit that lives inside each and every one of us who has Jesus, who claims Jesus this morning. God, may we be a people, may we be a community here in Laramie that fears not. May we be a people that thrives in the adoption. God, may we be a people that thrives in this family that you've called us into. God, may we be a people that thrives not for our own well-being, but for the well-being of those around us. God, as we point to you first in all of these things, as we give you the praise and the honor, as you change our life, as you make us fearless, God, thank you for making this adoption open to all. God, thank you for the reality of the life change that happens in people that listen to your Holy Spirit, that is confirmation of this thing is real. This isn't a joke. This isn't a farce. This isn't stupid people believing stupid things. This is legit. God, thank you for that evidence. And all sons and daughters say, Amen.